Welcome to the Rich Black Woman Podcast, where we empower you to be rich in mind, body, and bank. I'm your host, Yaz, and every week we'll talk to people who are doing interesting things regarding health and wealth. So come with me on a short journey as we enrich our lives together. I am fangirling a bit today, RBWs, because our next guest, Kaya Wright, you know her work, you've seen her work grace the crowns of some of the most gorgeous queen slayers of the red carpet, from Mary J. to Ciara to Jennifer Hudson to Taraji to Tyra Banks, and one of my personal favorite supermodels of all time, Iman. So if you want to be a slayer of not just hair, but also of wealth, you will want to tune in closely to my next guest and her journey and learn how she went from doing hair in her grandmother's basement at 17 to having her own flagship salon in Beverly Hills. Kaya is a two-time Emmy Award-winning celebrity hairstylist and image maker. Kaya's works have been featured on hit shows like Access Hollywood, Power, Blackish, Jimmy Kimmel Live, America's Next Top Model, and so many others. Her creations have also graced the covers of Vogue, Vanity Fair, GQ, Essence, Elle, and InStyle magazine. Alongside her remarkable work schedule, Kaya still manages to remain loyal to her loyal client base in the Beverly Hills area. She is also the owner creator of her own Muse Hair, a collection of premium custom wigs, extensions, and more. And she is here to tell us, ladies, about how she's built this beauty empire. Welcome, Kaya, to the Rich Black Woman Podcast.
Hello, Rich Black Women.
Yes.
That's
awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. And I am really, really excited to have this conversation with you. I was really excited to learn more about your forthcoming book, where you were actually sharing about your journey and really how you have gone and stepped up, you know, and leveled up to not just being a traditional hairstylist, but really taking advantage of, I think, this really awesome Black beauty renaissance and taking that by the horns. So share with us a little bit about, you know, you shared how you started doing hair in your grandma's basement, and now you have a salon in Beverly Hills and call some of the household names of stars we all know your clients.
I started at the early, I'm gonna give you a little recap of the beginning. I started really early on, just, you know, of course, my grandmother was a hairstylist and my mom sent me to just sort of assist her. I was probably like 11 years old. And I don't think I even realized that this would become the makings of my brand, my career, and just me gaining some knowledge as a young beauty pro at 11 years old. I guess I didn't even realize that. Me saying it is like actually like a new fun fact for myself. But basically, I started really early on just doing hair in the basement, sneaking people in. My mom was like, you know what? I'm putting your butt in hair school. She put me in hair school. I took it as a trade. Quickly, I became really popular by doing a lot of the drug dealer girlfriend's hair. Those were my celebrities at the time because they had the money, you know? And then from there, I, you know, met Puff. And then I moved to New York City. I worked in the New York salons. I started working with Puffy's artists. And that's what started my world, my tour life on the road. It was good just sort of moving into the entertainment industry because I got there almost like by chance. I didn't even really try to get there. It was just me, you know, meeting Puff, working with celebrities, and it just sort of going from there, you know? And then once I started working with his celebrities, that was like Faith Evans, then Mary J. Blige, being on the road with Total, Biggie, 112, Craig Mack, like all of those New Yorkers at the time. That was like iconic. I call it the Diddy years. Those were really iconic years for me coming up in New York City as a beauty pro, you know? And so moving from New York City, September the 11th happened. And when that happened, it literally changed the course of New York City as it related to the entertainment industry for music, because music really, really just sort of reigned over New York City at that time. You know what I mean? It was all about New York City. It was all about music. It was all about, like, you know, Puffy had Bad Boy, you know? So it was like all brand new for R&B, all of it. And it was devastating. When that September the 11th happened, people lost their lives. The city was just, oh, it was just like in distress, and nobody wanted to come to New York. So naturally, I was like, what do I do? Like, where can I go? And I can make money and I can still work with celebrities. Like, what can I do? And sure enough, it was like, I had traveled to LA several times. I was like, it's beautiful in LA. Celebrities are there. I could go to LA. And so, boom, September 11th happened. And when it came, what was it? Like, when April came, I was moved, found an apartment, and was moving to LA. Because I was just so afraid, like, what do I do next? So I was like, I have to pivot. And it really, you know, taught me very early on, like, how to, like, make changes, like, quick.
Yeah, and that's so important, especially right now. I feel like we had another September 11th, right, with the pandemic.
Worse.
And people, are trying to pivot. So talk about, you know, what was it like in those early days then? I'm sure there were some challenges to making that pivot, but you obviously stayed the course and it has paid off.
Yeah, it has. And it is like, you know, because we had several pivots. I've had several pivots. You know, let's talk about New York City moving to LA. Then we're going to talk about the financial crisis that happened in 07. You remember that? 06, 07.
Oh, yeah.
That hit. Yep. That was pretty devastating. For me, it didn't even hit me. But I just remember all these conversations and talk because I was buying a house. And I just remember that year I was working with Jennifer Hudson, Dream Girls, and it being a really good year for me. You know, it was a really good year. So it was like I didn't even experience the recession right away until 2017. I would say it started for me around 14 because I had bought me a loft downtown and it just shifted everything. I sold my loft. Like, it was a lot of things that sort of happened around that time. So just having that pivot in your life, like so many times, you become sort of like, you know, it's like a well-oiled machine, you know, you can pivot quickly and, you know, you have to think quickly on your toes. Like, how do you survive? How do you think of other means of income, other streams of income is what I'd always had. So that helped me. But to be able to physically go out and do hair and be a hairstylist was totally obsolete. They took it all away. Like, even we couldn't even work in our salons. Doing hair in your home was like you were just scared because of COVID. A lot of my family, my women are boss beauty women. And so they weren't, you know, I didn't want to sneak them in here. And then they would, you know what I mean? It was just way too much.
Yeah.
So doing virtual consultations over the phone with boss business women, selling extensions and wigs. Like, I was still maintaining some business, you know? So, man.
No, that's so good. It, you know, we hear a lot about being resilient, right? That's
yes.
Kind of this catch word right now, you know, resilience. And I don't think there's any woman in the world more resilient than a Black woman faced with a challenge because we always figure out a way. And that's obvious with how you pivoted. You mentioned, you know, going from 9/11 to then the Great Recession, and then now to this pandemic. Those were three kind of major lifetime, you know, the world earth-shattering moments, right? And I think what I wanted to get into next is, you know, how this new book that you have written, From Beauty to Business, mm-hmm. and these strategies that you were sharing with everyone so that they can model some of the success that you've had and, you know, take it to their own level. Can you share some about, you know, how do we pivot? Because that is translated to, even if you're not in the beauty industry, we all need to have, you talked about, Kaya, having multiple income streams, right? And that applies to anybody, whether you're in the beauty industry, whether you're in any other kind of industry. So speak to that and what also people can expect from your book. Because I sense that this book is not just for folks who are in the beauty industry.
No, not at all. Not at all. Like, you know, you're saying, so what was your question? Because it was kind of long. So actually, what was the question?
Yeah. So what, you know, we talk about resilience, having multiple income streams and having the ability to pivot. Talk about your book as it relates to that, right? Like, what are the strategies as people are, as we're hopefully emerging out of this pandemic? However, what it's taught us is that we need to be able to pivot, you know? So what are some of those tools, those characteristics to help us be resilient and help us to pivot?
You know, I really do go with, when it comes to pivoting, it's like, it's so innate for me. And I think that's one of the first questions I ask you in my book. Do you have the entrepreneurial DNA? That was one of my first questions, because you have to have, you can't like lose it. Because when that time happened, the first day when they said, because, you know, you have been just hearing word that, you know, we may close down, the COVID-19 is spreading and it's getting worse and the numbers are going up. And you were just thinking to yourself, oh, you weren't really thinking, oh, this is going to affect me. But when they said, then you start hearing the salon, you know, the managers at the front desk, yeah, we might be getting closed down. You're like, really? But it still doesn't affect you. Then you go a little bit further. You're like, wait a minute. I just heard on the news this morning, we might be closing down for the next few weeks. What? Then it starts to really hit me. Like, whoa, this is really real. And immediately your mind just, I just went right into like, hey guys, I'm packing up, getting ready to leave. Because I was thinking to myself, well, what do you take home? Well, can I do anyone's hair? Well, maybe I could do some people's hair here at home. Like, it just hadn't settled into my brain. So this pivot, this level of resilience I had to succumb to was real for me, because I was like, whoa, you know, before you still could do hair, you still could touch heads, you could still feel inspired by your gift and by your craft. But this time was a lot different, because you couldn't touch any hair. You couldn't, you know, still, you know, cheat somehow. Everything was shut down. They shut our salon down. It was like, lock the door, you can't even get in, you know?
Yeah.
So it was real for me, you know, and you're right. You know, learning how to pivot, it's almost like it just comes natural. If you are a person that understands that you have to survive and you have to eat. So immediately I went into connecting with my peers. Okay, guys, what are you guys doing? What's going on out there? Then I learned about EDD, PPP loans. I didn't know anything about this stuff. I connected with my peers, because a lot of them, some of them work in the union, and in the union, you're paying into your EDD, into your pension plan, your EDD, all of it. So I knew one, ding, 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 ding. Let me go back to that. Then I had disability insurance. That was a tip. Making sure that your disability insurance is of any sort is in order, just as a business person. Because if you get hurt, injured, any type of, and a lot of insurances don't cover natural disasters. That was something I learned too. You know, when these people's homes burn down here in California, from my understanding, they don't even have fire insurance. So it's like, you think to yourself like, oh my God, like, what do I do? You know, what am I gonna do now? Like, so you immediately, but then because I'm an ambassador, I went to my ambassador. They renewed my deal.
Talk about that. Completely. Talk about how you are an ambassador. How did you get that opportunity?
Well, when you are, you know, well, what I try to do is this. I try to practice really just being great at representing myself and my own brand. I would lead with that, you know, because you have to have some sort of like a great reputation for a corporate brand to want to sponsor you. You know, that's really where it starts. When you're with corporate, it's like, you know, you want to make sure you're representing Procter & Gamble. I've been with Procter & Gamble for maybe 13 years, and a young lady brought me on. She just was like, you know what? You're great. You're great on camera. You really have a great personality. You know, you always have a really nice, bright, shining light about you. And, you know, you're good on camera. So when she said that to me, it made me say, you know what? I'm going to go and take media training, you know, and that's exactly what I did. I went and got media training.
Awesome.
And that really helped me be able to, and then they got me more media training,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. So it was awesome.
Yeah, no, that's great, because what you're talking about, again, that's pivoting, right? So you're expanding your expertise into different channels and you're getting mm-hmm. paid and compensated for that expertise.
Exactly. So now you're expanding like your reach as a rate. So then they wanted to focus on online. So that was perfect. You know what I mean? So now it's almost like you have a sponsor sponsoring you for your online, which helps you pay for your production and all those great things. You see how it all just becomes like a nice little family if you understand your business, you know, because it's really nice to not have to always use your money.
Oh, yeah. Other people's money.
Mm-hmm. When you get corporate sponsors, that's how you expand your business.
Excellent. And do you have an agent, or is that how people get into that, or how does that work?
You said what?
Was it through an agent, or was it strictly, it sounds like, through your networking?
And that it was actually, it started out, oh man, this first partnership was so long ago that I don't even think I had any relationship. I think it was my relationship. That's what I think it was. Because it wasn't like we had a lot of, this was when social media was first starting.
Yeah. It seems like ages ago. Yeah.
It's been like forever.
So tell us more about the book. What can people expect to get and to take away? And what do you want people to take away from the book?
What I want people to understand is like, it's so important to understand the business side of beauty when you know, just starting out, and that there's levels to success and growth and to building and growing your own brand. And then, you know, but I'm going to give you some 101 fundamentals on how to get started, how to set up an LLC. Like from the beginning, you want to know what type of business is it that you want to have? You yourself are a business. And that was something I learned, how valuable that was when I went to go get when I had to get the PPP loan. People who did not pay themselves a salary did not receive PPP. So yeah. Thank God I have been paying myself a salary. So this was it was funny because when I was writing my book, I was finishing up the last chapters right when COVID happened, which then helped me add a few chapters about surviving a pandemic. You know what I mean? Like this one was like, take it to the next level. So had my business not been in order, I wouldn't be able to get PPP. Remember, I had several businesses. So for every business you can get PPP for, because, and all my business was separated in certain categories so that I was being taxed separately each category. A lot of people don't know that. You know, you just put everything all under one umbrella. So you're getting taxed one way.
Yeah.
So those were the things that I felt were so important to stylists that I wouldn't even have known had this not happened. But thank God I was always in search for a good team. Like I pay everybody. I have accountants, assistants, bookkeepers, business managers, managers. Everybody, because you really do need to have people working with you on your team to help things. And by the time people don't understand, when you have your own business, you're only going home with 20 to 15% of the money if you have the proper team in place. And so Beauty to Business really shows you like the steps. I went through it all. And then I'm going to lightly wrap my life stories into the business. So I thought it just to keep it fun. And I even added QR codes to make it easy to read and fun and a little bit more exciting.
Oh, that's creative. So those QR codes, people scan it. It's kind of interactive.
And it goes right to what you're looking for. Are you looking for what is a 941? Oh, go right to it. Oh, what's a, you know, 3598? Go right to it. What's the SBDC? Go right to it. And if it's not in your city, it's your local city. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that it's just leading you to where to go, because sometimes you don't even know where to start.
Right. No, I love that. You don't know where to start. That's really excellent. Yeah.
So I wanted to keep it easy and dummy free, you know, 101, like kid-like read, because sometimes that's how it is for, I'm a really busy entrepreneur, you know, and I am always moving and I need things to be easy. I'm always just saying to the universe, just keep it easy.
Yes.
So that was the one thing I wanted to make sure that I did for my viewers and readers.
And that's a business principle too, keeping things radically simple, so that you can be focused on what you're best at. And mm-hmm. I appreciate what you said about, you know, having that A team around you, having the accountant, having the proper bookkeeping, and the fact that you had your business in order. So then you were able to, Kaya, to be able to leverage the opportunity through the PPP, right? Some people we know some folk going to jail.
Exactly.
Some people going to jail because they didn't do it really. But when you put those foundational parts into play before there's a pandemic, before there's an issue, then you're able to leverage the opportunities and the grants and the loans to then, as you said, expand your enterprise with other people's money. So that is awesome. That is truly awesome. I feel like in the last, since, you know, the onset of YouTube University and so many beauty influencers taking over the world, what are your thoughts on, you know, this new world? We have so many new Black female bosses in this space and how we're finally getting a piece of the pie that we have created.
You know, I've been going to all of these like little events and it's so many Black business bosses. I'm like, when I walk in, I'm like, so I was, you know, BET weekend, for example, you know, just being amongst like the women that run BET, hanging out with like the head of BET, you know, Kimberly, like these women are like bosses and they look like me and they party like me. And we have, and I'm like, wow, it's just like, I'm like a little kid in a candy store. Cause I'm like, a lot of my women are also bosses. All of them, like all of them are executive women in business. And, you know, it teaches me as a beauty professional a lot of things, like, you know, how to handle with people's time. You know, time is such a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, people don't understand the importance of time and time management. You know, the whole thing just excites me, you know, just being amongst women with that, you know, being amongst that company of women, you know, beauty bosses, boss women, executive women in all fields of production, you know, doctors, lawyers, like my clientele is full of it. So for me, it's like the best thing ever. I could go on.
Yeah.
Because I love it.
No, it really is. I think that we're in a season of Black women bosses, a season mm-hmm. of really, you know, to steal from Issa Rae, it's me season. You know, it's all about sharing that information. I think that's been one of the positive things from social media is that we realize that there is an abundance of opportunity and it can be shared by all, you know, from the financial literacy that we see happening a lot in our community now with different influencers talking about financial literacy to beauty as well. Like it's limitless. We're able to control more of it, particularly when you think of, you know, we spend Black people $473 million
on hair care. I'm gonna tell you.
Yes, yes. And it's growing, right? Like that's just hair care. That's not even beauty outside of hair. And so there's so much to be had and there's so many new innovations. You know, when I scroll on my Instagram, I'm like, oh, look at this Black woman. She just invented some new swim cap. And this, you know, just
exactly
so many things. And we're being celebrated and we're celebrating ourselves. Like we're not waiting for other people to validate us and celebrate us. Yes. We're celebrating ourselves and we are leading the way. Yes. Any final words of wisdom to impart? And also please tell us how we can get your book. When is it available?
Oh man, I can't really express it enough how I feel that this book can help and inspire and, you know, change your life. You know what I mean? To have resources at your fingertips is just not common. And I really wanted to give you guys all the resources that you could need to at least lay down some foundation. And then I gave you a little bit of inspiration and I gave you some direct to phone, like pick your phone up, scan the QR code and get your answers right at your fingertips. So I wanted to just inspire, you know, even the young beautypreneurs and Instagrampreneurs to get their business in order and really, really just make it priority, make it a part of like your healthcare. All of it is so important. I know beauty professionals who don't even have health insurance. Like making your health and your life a priority, because this is a career. It's not a hobby. It's a career.
Absolutely.
So the book is everywhere. It's at Target. It's at online. And it's at Barnes & Noble in store. I've seen it in store. People show me. If you guys see it, put it to the top. And you can get it on Amazon.com. And you can go to KayaWright.com. I'd love for people to just sign up and subscribe, because I am doing so many classes, DIYs, meditation series, all type of great fun stuff. So
excellent. No, that's excellent. And I will definitely be sharing this with a beautypreneur that I know that could definitely use this as inspiration to get their business in order. And where can we find you on the socials? So I'm sure you're on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, KayaWright1. You can find me on Facebook, KayaWright with Muse Hair. Muse Hair is my brand. So if you need hair extensions, wigs, I have a hair extensions and wigs and bundles business and some products on KayaWright.com. So check me out, KayaWright.com. You can find everything.
Excellent. Well, that's a wrap, RBWs. Thank you for listening to the Rich Black Woman Podcast. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. If you like what you heard and you want more of it, please subscribe to our podcast. Until next time, live richly.